Thanks is my title for today. See, I opted not to add anything at the beginning, I just went right to the title. Okay, the whole story of Christmas has been designed by the author of all things to impress upon us his awesome power and majesty. Just think of the extremes or opposites involved. Let's start with opposite ends of the compass. Caesar Augustus, the emperor of Rome, the ruler of what was the Western world at that time, had a part to play in this divine drama. And so did wise men from the East. And there were people from opposite ends of the social spectrum. Caesar and the wise men and Herod were from the highest rank of society of the world at that time. But shepherds and a carpenter and his wife were also involved. A note must be added here concerning Joseph. When the angel spoke to Joseph in a dream, the angel addressed him as Joseph, son of David. Son of David surely meant that Joseph was a descendant of David. But son of David may also have meant that Joseph was the heir of David, the rightful heir to the throne. Of course, Herod was an interloper. He was, an Idumean. He wasn't a Jew, even. But to return to the opposites of Christmas, there were opposite extremes in the places involved as well. The star seen by the Magi, or the group of stars, whatever it was somewhere out in space, far beyond this earth. But the same or another star came to rest over a single spot on this earth, over the little town of Bethlehem. And there were extremes of beings, angels, the mighty ones of God, of heaven, spoke to men, to Zechariah and Mary and Joseph and shepherds. From the east unto the west, from the highest rank in society to the lowest, from the far reaches of the universe to a small village in the backwaters of the Roman Empire, from angels to men. That's how big this drama was. And we mustn't leave out the part of these events that is the greatest and the most incomprehensible. That the one who was in the beginning, who is omnipotent and present everywhere in the universe and beyond the universe, became a tiny baby lying in a manger. As Martin Luther put it, O Lord, you created all. How did you come to be so small? God works in a grand scale, large enough to include your life and mine and his plans and daily operations, large enough to have a mission for each one of us, large enough to carry us home when the time comes. When we think about all the wonders wrought by God at Christmas, then we can believe what Augustine claimed long ago, that God loves each one of us as if there were only one of us to love. In a lesson for today from Luke's Gospel, we are introduced to two more characters in the story of Christmas, Simeon and Anna. They call to mind the bridesmaids whose lamps were filled. Remember that parable? Simeon and Anna were watching and waiting and ready to meet their Savior. We are told that Anna was 84 years old. Well, I'm going to interject one thing here, because the time is going too quick. I'm going to be done pretty quick here. I had a great aunt whose name was Hannah. Oscar and Hannah, the couple that lived next door to my grandparents. So I was accustomed to the name Hannah my whole life, and growing up, I should say. Hannah didn't live too much longer after I was born. And if you look in the Greek Bible, the name Anna has a in front of it. So it's actually Hannah. Okay. I guess Hannah was kind of popular in the 90s, right? As a name for girls in the 80s. Kind of made a comeback. But anyway. And when Martin Luther translated the Bible into German, he spelled it H-A-N-N-A. But the English tradition is to just have Anna. So if I screw up and say Anna, you know what my problem is. Okay. Let's see. Now, as for Simeon, nothing was said by Luke about Simeon's age. He was promised that he would live to see the Savior, right? So what does that suggest? But that's probably why he's been thought of as being an old man, right? Along with what Simeon prayed, "Now let thy servant depart in peace." Do you recognize that when you heard that? We say those words at the end of communion. Depart, that is, from this life on earth, sort of thing that an older person would have been more likely to say, right? Also, there's no mention of Simeon in the account of Jesus in the temple when he was 12 years old. The next story in Luke's gospel certainly suggests that Simeon was no longer around on this earth. So Simeon was quite possibly an older man, and Anna was definitely an old lady. Just think, 84 in those days, that must have been pretty old. I started out talking about opposites in the story of Christmas today. Simeon, Anna, and Anna present us with another pair of opposites. At the beginning of Luke's history, John was conceived, and then Jesus was conceived. And now at the end of Luke's account of Christmas, the two oldsters, Simeon and Anna, show up. God made room in his story for babies and for old people, too. And, of course, he had already done so with Zechariah and Elizabeth right from the start. We know from Luke's account that Anna was very old. What else do we know about Anna? She spent all of her time in the temple. Who does the world put in the limelight? Celebrities, younger people usually, people who seldom darken the doors of churches, people who look down on Christians as foolish people. But look at who God put in the spotlight. A woman who was 84 years old, who spent all her time in church. What does that tell you? There's more to the story of Anna. Not only did God put her put his spotlight on Anna, he put her at the end of the story. And he gave her the last line, at least in Luke's account. Now, if you were in charge of the script, if you were the one who was arranging everything, wouldn't you save the best for last? or at least something very important. And why should this story have been any different? And what was that last line given to Anna? Anna gave thanks to God for what he had done, for sending to us the Redeemer. The Apostle Paul advised the Colossians to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. We have much to be thankful for at Christmas, and we have so many psalms and hymns and spiritual songs which have been handed down to us through the centuries for us to give voice to our joy. Martin Luther talked about giving thanks in his hymn for Christmas from heaven above. Welcome to earth, O noble guest, through whom this sinful world is blessed. You turn not from our needs away. How can our thanks such love repay? What a question that is. How can we repay him? How can we show our gratitude? Our response to what God has done for us was what an angel by the name of Dudley had in mind in the movie The Bishop's Wife. The bishop had a sermon all ready for Christmas Eve, but when he was out visiting wealthy patrons of the church, Dudley the angel looked over his work and quickly came to the conclusion that something else needed to be said. Tonight I want to tell you the story of an empty stocking. So began the angel's sermon. He went on to mention that first Christmas and how we celebrate it still with stars on Christmas trees, the sound of bells and gifts for one and all. Oh, we forget nobody, he continued, adult or child. All the stockings are filled, all that is, except one. And we have even forgotten to hang it up. The stocking for a child born in a manger. It's his birthday we're celebrating. Don't let us ever forget that. Let us ask ourselves what he would wish for most, and then let us each put in his share loving kindness, warm hearts, and the stretched out hand of tolerance, all the shining gifts that make peace on earth. Luther gave us some ideas for filling that empty stocking too. Each one of us can welcome our noble guest. Now that welcoming may not seem like a big deal, but remember how there was no room for him in the inn. And when he claimed to be the Messiah in his hometown of Nazareth, what happened then? And after such a grand welcome in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, soon enough, crucify him, was all that they could say. You're not welcome, was the litany that Jesus heard more often than not in this earth. As John wrote, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world knew him not. He came to his own home, and his own people received him not. But we can welcome him as we sing in another hymn. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We can also follow the example of Jesus. He turned not from our needs away. We can do the same. He wants our neighbors to be able to say that of us. You turned not from our needs away. In this way, we can also fill that empty stocking and show our thanks. Anna came last in Luke's account of Christmas, and Anna gave thanks to God. The 84-year-old gave thanks for the baby with a capital B. Could there have been a better way to end the story?